In more than a dozen states now, you have to be 21 years of age to be able to purchase tobacco products. Oregon is one of those states as of the beginning of last year. And the first numbers are out on the effects of raising the smoking, or at least cigarette buying age. It appears that fewer people in their early to mid-teens started smoking after the law passed. The Oregon Health Authority ordered up the numbers from a research agency. Here now is Dr. Tom Jean, who's OHA's Deputy State Health Officer and Deputy State Epidemiologist. Dr. Jean, thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
I can imagine the bill came from with lots of input from people like you at the OHA. What is the evidence of the difference in being able to buy tobacco products at 21 versus 18?
Yeah, well, just to quickly put it in context, it was back in August 2017 that Governor Kate Brown signed Senate Bill 754, and that was the bill that raised the minimum age for purchase of tobacco and vaping products in Oregon from 18 to 21. Oregon was the fifth state to do so. And that bill was really developed to help prevent young people from ever starting to use tobacco to reduce the deaths, disease, and the healthcare costs caused by tobacco use. So it went into effect on January 1st, 2018. And the Oregon Health Authority Public Health Division conducted this evaluation to assess the short-term outcomes of the implementation of that Tobacco 21 law. So we used social media advertising on Facebook and Instagram to recruit for online surveys for youth aged 13 to 17 and then young adults aged 18 to 25 in all counties throughout Oregon. And we assessed them before the law in December 2017 and then again 9 months after the law took effect in September of 2018. And so it basically looked at the 3,400 current tobacco users. They were included in the pre-legislation analysis, and then over 1,800 in the second part, post-legislation. And it basically asked them questions about their experiences with tobacco and vaping products that were expected to be affected by the implementation of that law. So what did we find? Well, yes, as you mentioned, we found that recent initiation of tobacco use decreased significantly among current tobacco users, both youth aged 13 to 17. It decreased from 34% to 25% after the law. And then among young adults aged 18 to 20, decreased from 23% to 18% after the law. So those are significant declines. It also found that the perceived ease of access decreased. So that is the percentage of tobacco users aged 18 to 20 who reported that it was sort of easy or very easy to obtain tobacco products. That number decreased significantly.
Did you have any expectations, Tom, about the fall-off percentages you would see? And if there were expectations, how did these realities, you know, dropping from 34% to 25% in that 13 to 17 age cohort, how did that match what your expectations might have been?
I don't think we had particular, a number in mind. We were hoping to see a significant decrease. And, you know, when you change the minimum purchase age, you would expect these age groups, especially that 18 to 20 age group, to see a decrease in both perceived ease of access and the actual initiation or starting smoking or starting to use tobacco products. So it's in line with our expectations, to be sure.
Is the 18 to 20 group sort of a pathway to the 13 to 17 group? I mean, are these the people who might buy tobacco products that they then share with people who are slightly younger than them?
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, those are people who, you know, if you're 17, you probably know people who are 18 or 19, and they may be in your peer group or, you know, in your family. So raising the age to 21 kind of cuts off a lot of that access. So it's people who are completely underage, you know, minors under the age of 18, even though they weren't directly affected by this change, they're actually significantly affected because they can no longer, as you mentioned, they can no longer get it from a friend who may be 18, 19, or 20.
Dr. Tom Jean is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. It's with the Oregon Health Authority, Deputy State Health Officer, and Deputy State Epidemiologist. We're talking about Tobacco 21. Oregon is one of the 14 states now that have a tobacco purchasing age of 21. It was raised from 18, effective January 1st of last year. Questions, comments, observations of your own? Join the conversation on the Exchange at 800-838-3760 over the phone. Email address is jx@jeffnet.org. So the figure that gets the most discussion here on the top of the list in the report about the Tobacco 21 evaluation is what we talked about already, initiation of smoking. Now, how about people under the age of 21 who had already started smoking? Do you have numbers on that?
So for those people under the age of 21 who had already started smoking, I mean, that's basically kind of what this is getting at, because the survey is only of people who are currently tobacco users. So when we report this decline in recent initiation, that's actually looking at that same population. So the population of current tobacco users after the study, or sorry, after the law, is including fewer people who recently started. So those they started longer ago. So basically, that's kind of showing the effectiveness of the law at stopping these kids from starting.
It seems like there are a whole bunch of websites out there and other ways of reaching younger smokers or would-be smokers with OHA backing. Give us an array, if you would, Tom, of what's out there to try to convince people not to take up smoking in the first place and then to drop it if they have.
Yeah, well, I mean, we have our tobacco prevention and education program, and we have lots of ways that we're trying to help support people quit smoking, who are already smoking. One of those is the Oregon Quit Line, 1-800-QUIT-NOW, and the website www.quitnow.net, where anyone in Oregon, regardless of their income or insurance status, can speak with a quit coach and receive nicotine replacement therapy to help them quit tobacco. We also have our Smoke Free Oregon, which is a kind of a mass media campaign that provides messages to help people who use tobacco quit, and also prevention messages to prevent youth and young adults from starting to smoke. And then another important thing to mention is our Oregon's Indoor Clean Air Act, and that's something that protects nearly every Oregonian from the health risks of secondhand smoke by focusing on tobacco-free buildings, workplaces, and public spaces.
So is there a general thrust in the anti-smoking efforts, particularly the ones aimed at younger smokers? I mean, do you want to appeal to reason, emotion, or some combination thereof?
I think you really need a multi-pronged approach. I think one of the biggest issues for youth is just is the access, and the other big issue is the appeal. So in terms of the appeal, you know, you see all these flavors and kind of colorful, cartoony packaging, especially on some of the e-cigarette products these days. So those are specifically designed to appeal to youth. And then the other thing is the access. And so Tobacco 21 is a big step in the right direction to reducing access to youth. Another thing that's very important is the price of tobacco. So youth are particularly impacted by the price of tobacco because they tend to have lower disposable income. So anything that can increase the price of tobacco tends to decrease use and access in general.
Does OHA advocate higher taxes on tobacco products for just that reason?
Well, you know, according to CDC and the U.S. Surgeon General, raising the price of tobacco is the most effective way to reduce tobacco use, especially among youth. And so really, we know that raising the price of tobacco keeps kids from starting. It encourages people to quit. And so our legislature is currently considering several bills in this session to increase the price of tobacco, e-cigarettes, and other flavored tobacco products.
Let's come back to the efforts to convince people not to smoke or to stop if they have started. I mentioned websites. I didn't get into the social media part of this. Obviously, you're social media savvy enough that you sought out the survey participants to talk about the effects of Tobacco 21 through social media. So I imagine you have extensive social media offerings as well in smoking cessation.
Yeah, we have people on our staff who are kind of you know, involved on our social media accounts. We have a Facebook account, and they send out kind of messages and support and links for more information for anybody who's interested in you know, quitting smoking, for example, and kind of general health promotion messages. So, yeah, it's an important part of our communication strategy, social media.
It's certainly a way to reach people, but, you know, let's face it, it's still an anti-smoking message coming from a state agency. I wonder, you know, just how appealing you can make it to younger people.
Yeah, I mean, that is something we deal with. You know, the other factor here is that the tobacco industry is very good at marketing, and a lot of their marketing has, you know, subtly or not so subtly been directed to kids. And I don't know specifically what they're doing with social media, but we know that in the retail environment, there's you know, all sorts of advertising where products are placed in stores, where tobacco products are placed in relation to, for example, candy and other things that kids might be interested in. So there's it's a battle to be fought in many different venues.
So, Tom, we were talking about the people who responded to the survey via social media, and you mentioned 3,400 tobacco users to do the. Was that the prior survey, before the Tobacco 21 took effect?
Right, 3,400 before, and then 1,800 in the post legislation analysis.
So it is self reporting from the people who respond to the survey in the first place, right?
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's an anonymous survey, but we're asking them to report and tell us. Yeah, so it's just a self-report.
In the case of the after the law change cohort here, how tricky can it be to find people who are not supposed to be buying tobacco products to come clean about what they've been doing?
Well, again, because it's an anonymous survey, we're hoping that people are honest about that. And the other side of that is the retailers, and we know that some retailers are not, you know, they don't check ID like they're supposed to. And so we do have people, you know, investigators who go out to stores and check to see whether they're checking ID for kids who are clearly underage who are trying to buy tobacco products. One of the things that we would really like in Oregon is to have what we call tobacco retail licensure, and that's basically requiring all stores that sell tobacco to be licensed. And we don't currently have that. Many states do have that, and that would just give us a little more understanding, a little more enforcement capability for retailers who are, you know, illegally basically helping kids buy tobacco products.
So it sounds like you have no particular stick to hold over them. There's no threat of losing a license if there isn't a license in the first place.
And that's exactly right. Mm-hmm.
So what are the sanctions then for retailers who continue to sell tobacco products to people who aren't supposed to be old enough to buy them?
Well, in general, they can get a warning. We can advise them that they know they can get fined in certain cases, but I think that fine only applies to the actual clerk or the store employee who sells it, and it doesn't have to be reported to even the owner necessarily. So it's an imperfect system, to be sure.
Tom Jean is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, a physician and the OHA Deputy State Health Officer and Deputy State Epidemiologist. We're talking about the effects of Tobacco 21 in Oregon, where you have to be 21 years old to buy tobacco products as of January 1st of 2018. This request for proof of age is certainly one of the more interesting parts of the key findings here. How often are stings or other field tests done to see if people are checking for proof of age?
Those are done on a regular basis. I don't have the exact time frame, but every year we do have, we work with Oregon State Police and local agencies to kind of conduct these kind of random checks of retailers around the state.
And is there any consistent reason that is heard back from these efforts to find out what people are doing in terms of selling stuff, whether people are, you know, what they're saying about why they sell to people who are underage?
No, I don't think we've looked at that. I think in many cases it might be, you know, you have an employee who doesn't really know or doesn't really care about that. I can only speculate, though, mm-hmm. on that.
All right, so let's we haven't talked very much about vaping. You mentioned it briefly in the way that it's advertised and flavored and things like that. How big a factor has vaping been in youth smoking in recent years, Tom?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, vaping and e-cigarette use has increased dramatically in recent years, both in Oregon and nationally. So we've seen a steady decline in regular cigarette smoking among youth over the past couple of decades. But in the past several years, it's really e-cigarettes. They're now the most popular tobacco product among Oregon youth. We have recent data from our student wellness survey from 2018, and we found that 21% of Oregon 11th graders reported currently using e-cigarette products, and that includes products like Juul. So 21% in 2018 was an increase of nearly 50% from 2016, the previous survey. So that is just very alarming. And then, you know, people think that e-cigarettes are much less harmful than cigarettes. It appears from the evidence we've seen so far that e-cigarettes are not as harmful as combustible cigarettes. But we really, there is plenty of evidence that they are somewhat harmful still. And we really don't have studies yet to look at the potential long-term health effects. So we really don't have good evidence to say that e-cigarettes help people stop smoking either. There's perhaps some indication of that, but we can't talk about cessation of smoking using e-cigarettes without talking about the youth initiation, because it appears that youth are really, that's really the bigger side of the equation. So because Juul has become so popular, we just have seen this large, large increase in kids using e-cigarettes. And that's also concerning because even independent of the health effects, these products contain nicotine, which is one of the most addictive substances we know of. So these kids are becoming, this new generation of kids is becoming addicted to nicotine, and many of them may go on and smoke regular cigarettes down the road.
If I heard your numbers correctly, you went from a situation where underage people were basically 1 in 10 were smoking, and now you've got 1 in 5, basically, at the high school level?
Yeah, it was about 1 in 5 in 2018, and we're a little concerned. We're waiting to see the 2019 data when it comes out, because it's, nationally, it's been increasing a lot in the past year. So quite concerning, and we're doing what we can to kind of get the message out there that e-cigarettes contain nicotine, they're addictive, and they're not safe.
Do you think there would have been a Tobacco 21 bill in Oregon without the concern about e-cigarettes?
I think there probably would have. Again, it's something that other states have been doing. It's a very important way to reduce youth access, even to regular cigarettes, little cigars and cigarillos, that kind of product, which are often cheaper to buy because you don't have to buy a whole pack of 20. So, I think it's important, even not even considering e-cigarettes.
So, Tom, just about 30 seconds left. What's the next step in terms of researching how well the Tobacco 21 law is doing in Oregon?
You know, we'll continue to look at data and perhaps conduct more evaluations. We do youth surveys every year in schools, and we ask questions on those surveys about tobacco use, including e-cigarette use, and also their perceived ease of access. So we'll continue to track those trends, and we'll continue to work on supporting people who want to quit and getting the message out there that tobacco, including e-cigarettes and other inhalant delivery systems, are not safe, and they're not. E-cigarettes are not the best way to try to quit. It's best to use a FDA-approved cessation device.
All right, but certainly some indications of progress thus far. Dr. Tom Jean is Oregon Health Authority's Deputy State Health Officer and the Deputy State Epidemiologist. Thank you for joining us on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you very much.